Scotty Moore, the self-effacing musician who was Elvis's first guitarist and first manager, played with Elvis from 1954 through the 60s. As Peter Guralnick writes, guitar players of every generation since rock began have studied and memorized Scotty's licks, even when Scotty himself couldn't duplicate them. Scotty Moore has collected memories of his years with Elvis in a new book called That's All Right, Elvis. And he has a new CD called All the King's Men that also features drummer DJ Fontana. Terry Gross spoke with Scotty Moore last month. She asked him to share some memories about the 1955 recording session of Mystery Train.
It was a slow R&B song.
The Junior Parker had recorded before.
Yeah, and we ended up just getting the tempo up more, and I changed the rhythm thing around, and I've always loved it. It's just a fun thing to do. I still use that as playoffs and stuff on things I do.
Now, did you and Bill Black work out the rhythm on this, or was this a groove that you just happened into together?
Well, Bill would just naturally, he was naturally fall in, slap bass, and, you know, put the rhythm in there. He might not hit every note dead on, but that rhythm would always be there. We always went for feel.
Mm-hmm.
If it felt good, if it was some little bobble or something, note wasn't quite true or something, it didn't matter. Because once you get that feel and you keep trying, it'll just go downhill. You reach that peak and it's gone.
Okay, well, this is Mystery Train. Elvis Presley, my guest Scotty Moore on guitar.
Train I ride, 16 coaches long. Train I ride, 16 coaches long. Well, that long black train got my baby and gone. Train, train, coming round the bend. Train, train, coming round the bend. Well, it took my baby, but it never will again.
If you're just joining us, my guest is guitarist Scotty Moore, who we just heard on Mystery Train, and he's written a new autobiography called That's All Right, Elvis. When did you start realizing that Elvis was really catching on in a very emotional way with his fans?
I would say that after we did the first couple of TV shows with Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey,
mm-hmm.
after we went to RCA, before that, most of our shows and stuff had been all in the Southeast, and there had been some, granted, that starting to see the hysteria and so forth, but it really didn't come home to us till we did those shows, that national exposure. Then it just seemed like the floodgates opened up, you know.
Now, how did you feel about this? On the one hand, it was like really good news for the group that the singer was so popular. On the other hand, he was getting so much of the attention. Did you feel envious of the attention that he was getting?
Oh, no. No, that never even crossed our minds. No, that we hope would mean bigger paychecks, bigger paydays, you know, for everybody.
Did it?
No. No, it did grow a little bit, but not very much. That's kind of what I'm saying with the title of the book. The pay raises, the perks and stuff, as it got bigger and bigger, didn't come along for the band, and I'm just saying that's okay. It's not we're being paid a fair wage as far as a man on the street with everyday job,
right?
You know, $200 a week back then wasn't bad at all. But then you take, as he got bigger and we had to get in these bigger hotels, and people expect you to take them to dinner, and we bought our own clothes and paid our own hotel bills out of what we were making. We were saying, you know, hey, some of this should come from some other source, you know. And that's was the thing. We weren't really arguing about that we didn't have enough to pay the bills. at home, but it was all this other stuff that was really expected of you that you couldn't afford.
What would you say is your most copied guitar solo from the Elvis records? Or one of the most?
Probably Heartbreak Hotel, maybe. I don't know. I've never been asked that before. Can we do a survey? Write in, folks, and tell me. I don't know.
Well, why don't we go for Heartbreak Hotel?
Okay.
Tell me your memories of this session.
Well, of course, that was the first one on RCA. And they were trying to get basically the same sound that Sam was getting, had gotten with us in Memphis. And they had this big, long hallway out in the front that had the tile floor. So they put a big speaker at one end of it and mic at the other end and the sign, "Do not enter." And they used that. That's where it ended up with that deep, real room echo instead of the tape delay echo that Sam had used. Now, it's hard to hear. There is a little tape delay on it, but either their tape machine didn't match his, and so it's just very slight, and then he ended up with the acoustic echo. And I'll give them credit. Maybe they didn't think about it, but a room echo at that point was sound effects they used in the movies. They weren't using them for recording. And then here comes this, and it's so drastic. But it worked for the song. When you say, at the end of a lonely street, it's so distant. And I like to say this, if you don't mind, that in speaking of these technical things, one thing that Sam did that I don't believe he realized when he was doing it, and I didn't until years later, that I got into engineering, he pulled Elvis's voice back close to the music. You know, all the Sinatra and all those things where the voice is so far out in front. And he more or less used Elvis's voice as another instrument.
Into the mix.
Even to the mix. But didn't bury him like a lot of the rock things, later.
Right.
But closer.
Now, your solo on Heartbreak Hotel, is that something you had prepared before the session? Or is this something you had worked out?
No. Everything we ever did was just spur of the moment.
Did you learn the song at the session, or did you know it before that?
No, learned it at the session.
Well, all right, let's hear it. 1956, Heartbreak Hotel.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be just so lonely, baby. I'll be so lonely, they could die. Keep flowing, and the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on the street, they'll never look back and think of something. Think you're so lonely, baby. Well, they're so lonely. Well, they're so lonely, and they could die. Well, if your baby leaves you, you've got a tale to tell. Well, just take a walk down Lonely Street to Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be. You're so lonely, baby. Well, you'll be lonely. You'll be so lonely, you could die.
It's Heartbreak Hotel, my guest, Scotty Moore. On guitar, and he's written an autobiography, which of course includes his years playing guitar with Elvis Presley. It's called That's All Right, Elvis. Did you see Elvis undergo a personality transformation as he became more and more famous, a recording star, a movie star, a heartthrob, an icon?
You know, the years I spent with him, he seemed to take it in stride. Yeah, I saw all the things changing around him, you know, with the movies and such. And he became more secluded as he gathered his entourage around him because he didn't feel like he could go out and didn't want to cause a scene, you know, and just going to, you know, like a famous restaurant or something. But as far as personality change and stuff, I didn't become aware of any until after I left him, and then he started in the 70s. And I don't know the inside, and I've heard, of course, and read a lot of stuff, but it still amazes me because just a few months before he died, I saw some footage, and when he was so bloated, and I said, there's something desperately wrong. Because he was very vain, and there's no way that he'd go out in front of people like that.
Did you feel like
I don't think he could see himself in the mirror at that point.
Did you feel like you didn't recognize the person he had become?
No, I didn't.
Did you communicate with him at all during that period?
No, and it was not because of any conflicts or anything. It's just that with this entourage around, and there was two or three of those guys that were really good guys. But still, he could call me a lot easier than I could get through to him. You know what I'm saying? You make the call, you know, if he ever gets it or not. And so I just left it for him.
But he did not call out.
You never know what he's being told.
Right. Tell me, you know, in the years after Elvis's death, there have been cult groups that have risen around him, people who swear that they've seen him even though he's been dead and so on. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. What goes through your mind when you see the way even in death he is worshipped? I mean, you knew him as a man, not as a god.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't. They're misguided. You don't want to be sarcastic to say, you know, get a life, but it's okay to like somebody, but don't idolize them like that, you know. And he wouldn't have liked that. He really wouldn't. And he didn't like being called a king either.
He didn't?
No. He said there was only one king, and this was a man upstairs.
Do you feel bad that Elvis died during a period when you weren't really in touch, so you didn't have a chance to maybe talk about things with him that you might have liked to talk about before he passed?
Well, yes, in one way, but in another way, he was so vain, I could never see him growing old gracefully.
Huh, that's interesting. But like you were saying, if he was so he was so vain, and yet he managed to allow himself to balloon the way he did.
That just astonishes me. Yeah. I don't know. I'll never understand that.
But you can't imagine an aging Elvis.
No, I mean, if he hadn't got into that
right
situation, no, I never could. In fact, the guys, we used to talk about it, you know, said, what's he going to do when he gets about 60, you know? What if he goes bald? You know, just all kind of stuff like that.
Well, Scotty Moore, I'm really glad you're playing again. And a pleasure to have the chance to talk with you.
Terry, it's been a pleasure and enjoyable.
Guitarist Scotty Moore speaking with Terry Gross last month.